A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi! I've got those allergy eyes.
You've been moseying around in the dirt, so...
Fair point. Yesterday,
and
I was...
What are you allergic to?
Dust, and you were the one who put the connection where I was like, bitch, what do you think dust is? And I was like, whoa, that's actually crazy. I'd never thought about that before. I like fucked up yesterday. I did way too much. And like, I literally said on my vlog, because I was like vlogging yesterday, I was like, well, I could do something else, but like Moth's just left. So like, he won't yell at me for doing this. And then I just
That's the point.
I know.
You're either supposed to have Moth there or call me to put me on FaceTime. I was lying in bed. I could have been there virtually with you.
I got carried
away. And then
away.
I would have been like, it's time to go sit down. And I think you do this on purpose because you don't want anyone telling you that.
No, it's you're 100% correct. And I'm slowly learning that that's like not a good thing. And I was like, he's going to come home by the time that it's like dark out. So it'll be fine. And I was like, and he wasn't going to work late. And then he was be like, had finished like watching, I think we watched like an episode of TV or something. We ate dinner. And he was like, okay, I'm going to go work for a minute. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, Megan, just it's dark. He won't notice. I hear the door shut. And then I hear the door open very quickly. And he goes, you went a little ham. And I was like, sorry. And he's like, we can't even fit all of this in like the green bins. Because I might have pruned all like so much of the tree. Like I like ripped out all of his stuff. My hand is so swollen. I have bug bites all over it, but like I can't fully shut my fingers. Here on the Patreon, you can see. Like it's just such an ordeal. And then I like tore up some more dirt. But I was like, we're in such a good position for this weekend. And he was like, okay, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, okay, you're right. But no. To be fair, as soon as it gets hot out, I like actually can't do it. Like it's, I can't even get lost in it.
That's not a to be fair statement, Megan.
Okay, no, you're right. It's not a to be fair. Luckily, on the bright side, now that it's going to get, once it starts getting like hot out, I will not be able to even embark on starting these projects, let alone
but
getting
again,
lost in
this
them.
Is not on the bright side. I just keep picturing you pinned under a wheelbarrow and no one being there for you.
I don't
do
that anymore. That one, I learned my lesson because I was like, that was dangerous. And also there are times where I just started pruning from the seated position as well as using my giant shovel. And I was too tired to go get the small little shovel. So I'm using my giant like standing shovel while I'm sitting down, which is funny.
You know, that movement really accelerates your heart rate.
Yeah. I took my beta blockers.
I should know now when you don't answer me in text messages for 2 days, I know what you're doing.
You're actually so right.
Actually, you know,
I should give you access to my ring so you can see.
You
can
should give
in.
Me access to your ring so I can just yell at you from the ring.
I'll be like, what? So, yeah. Anyways, what about you? What's up? What's new?
Just recovering from the worst cramps I've had in months. It took me out yesterday. I was like, I'm so glad that I have like minimum things to do today because I couldn't. I physically couldn't.
Yeah.
I slept most of the day and then got up and worked out with my trainer and then went back to sleep.
That's impressive though.
Yeah. Because I was like, I'm not paying this. Okay. It was too late.
I'm gonna drop my shoes. They might hear those.
Do you know the term when the other shoe drops comes from? When people would come home from a long day of work and then they would, like in New York where apartment buildings so deep, they knew when the person was going to go to sleep because the other shoe would drop.
They would just be wearing one shoe?
No, because one shoe would drop and then the other would drop and that would mean that it's done.
Oh, okay. Because now the way that we use it, it's like waiting for the other shoe to drop and it like takes months for the other. What, you know what I mean? Like it can. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's a weird time to just wear one shoe. But yeah, no, that's we've just run with it.
Yep.
That's interesting.
I heard it a long time ago. It could be completely false.
It's nice to have an origin of a word that's not from something that you're like, holy shit, that's fucked up.
Yeah. But again, it might not even be true. I just heard it one time and never fact checked it.
And that's okay. And I wholeheartedly support that. And therefore, that is a fact here.
All right. Well, welcome to Don't Blame Me. It's a call and advice show. I'm Melissa Diamond Montz. That's Megan.
The construction worker. You can also refer to me as Bob the Builder. So we're going to answer calls, read your DMs, and read your emails, and give you some wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice. So if you'd like to participate in an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message to meganpodcast@gmail.com, or you can slide into our DMs for the audio version. Keep it under 3 minutes. For all of the versions, you have to be 18 or over, have your parents' permission. But for the audio version, keep it under 3 minutes. Let us know your age, your pronouns, if you would like, and include as many details as possible. We do recommend that you like write it down, time it out, practice it a few times, and then just read it out loud on the voicemail. And for the written versions, keep it under 300 words. Also include your age as well as your pronouns, if you would like. And it is all anonymous. So in order for us to keep track of everybody and everything in it, you can give people fake names. Yeah, let us know if you're sensitive, but we try and give the best possible advice that we can. And we don't give like joke advice. I know some podcasts are like joke advice. We'll tell you if it's joke advice, but like we actually do want to help. So the more details we have, the better advice we can give. And we don't give like bad advice. Not usually.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Let's get into an update / advice.
Hi, Eminem. So this is both an update and needing advice. So last year on episode Stressed Out Over Pride, I called using a TikTok voice filter about my racist therapist who had body shamed me and called me ugly for not wearing any makeup and then triggered my eating disorder even more. Well, the update is I turned 26 in America and got kicked out of my parents' insurance, which was something no one told me about until I went to see my therapist. But she wasn't the one who told me. It was the receptionist who rudely said, "You don't have insurance. We can't help you." So never going back there again. Now for the advice. Since that bitch traumatized me, how does one go back to therapy when they're now scared of therapists? My old therapist like really ruined therapy for me by making me feel worse. A lot worse, actually, that it ruined my mental health, ruined my mental well-being and made me lose a lot of my interest. But I want to go back because I've been feeling too anxious and other mental health things. And now I have insurance again. So how does one try to get back into therapy when they're scared of therapists? Thank you.
I think we need to, at the end of the day, remember that therapists are people. And people are flawed. Not all therapists are created equally. I've been to therapists that I do not like and then therapists that I do like. And so I would try not to settle for the first therapist that you talk to. Talk to a few. A lot of them do free consultations for the first time that you chat and just see who you actually vibe with. I don't want to call it bait, but it kind of is bait, but ask leading questions and see how they answer them and see if they answer them in a way that is offensive. And I think that will help you. That therapist that you went to before is not all therapists. They're an asshole. And they probably shouldn't be practicing. And good luck. And I hope you find a good one.
Yep. I agree with all of that. We're both people who've had good therapists and bad therapists. And it is kind of just something you go through. And I look at it now like I look at bad doctors, like anyone in a bad profession, where I need to make the effort I put into it so fucking low. So like, I'm not going to go in for the first, like, we're going to have a phone call. And I'm going to schedule it at a time that's convenient for me. I'm not going to schedule my whole day around it. Like all of those things. Like I'm going to go in with like a very low effort on my end because it can be really taxing when it, if it doesn't go well. And I also think you should tell them like, I have a very trepidatious relationship with therapy right now. I know that I want it and I need it, but I had a really bad experience because of X, Y, and Z. And this is what they did. And this is how it made me feel. So like, I think going into it and telling them that as opposed to having them like, guess to have it to succeed, but to give them that where they're like, oh, I might not be the right therapist for you then. But I agree with like the asking this questions that you can are comfortable hearing the answers to weed them out very quickly and easily. I don't think you need to build a trust with them to then find out they're like an asshole or a bigot. I don't think it's rude whatsoever to figure that out ahead of time. And yeah, I mean, I know people who like, so I know someone who's recently going to get a new therapist and they did like 7 consultations with like different ones, like just different phone calls. And then they did like 2 with, they like narrowed it down. Like, okay, I'll do another, did a session with this therapist. Then the next week did a session with this therapist to kind of figure it out because it's hard. Like it's hard to find one that works. Even if you've had a plethora of amazing therapists and then you have one bad one, it can be hard to kind of like get back on the horse there. And I totally understand that. And if I was seeking out therapy right now, I would do it in such a different way than I did the first time because I didn't like my last therapist. So I think knowing what you want is a really great way to get what you want because you can ask for that from them.
All right. Well, hope that helps. And we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll get into the new questions, advice seekers.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books, so we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like, you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me, so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed it as 45 of the must read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since detective
Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait, and we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com, and you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. And we're back, and let's hop into it.
And I just want to say that this episode going forth is all about boyfriends.
Ugh. Ew.
Boyfriend themed episode.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I need advice on how to resolve an issue with my boyfriend. I'm a 21-year-old female, she, her, and my boyfriend, who we'll call Jack, is a 21 male, he, him. I went to high school with Jack, and we've been close friends ever since, and recently admitted feelings for one another in January and began dating in March of this year. Since we started dating, there's been a constant issue that I don't know how to resolve. It's the fact that he's not a fan of my only guy friend, or if I speak to guys in general. My only other guy friend is a mutual friend of ours who we see often, and we both have friends of opposite genders, and we agreed in the beginning of our relationship that we weren't worried about each other's friends as long as we showed respect for our relationship and one another, which I've lived up to and believe he has as well. When he brought up his frustrations about it, I understood and now have limited communication with our mutual friends. We've only called two or three times with each other if we need advice on college-related topics because we both are graduating soon and are looking into grad school, and Jack doesn't know much about college and doesn't go. Jack is extremely frustrated that we make these calls. I always explain to him that I'm willing to help others, and if someone needs advice, I'm happy to help, and he seems to understand at the time, but then when it happens again, he gets upset. Another time was when it was my last lab of the semester, and I sent Jack a Snapchat with my lab partner's leg in it, who is a male. Jack knew the whole semester that my lab partner was a male, but when I sent the Snapchat, he texted me a bunch saying how upset he was over it and that I didn't need to be sending him photos of my lab partner just to quote-unquote make him mad. I explained to him that I can't choose who my lab partners are. My intent wasn't to make him upset, and I go to a STEM/engineering university. Most of my classmates are male by default. He refuses to talk to me about the matter. My last example is how when we were out with friends at a bar or community event, he gets upset when I talk to a guy unless it's his friend. I'm a very outgoing person and social, and so I'll have a conversation with anybody. And when we go out, we live in my college town, so I end up having a lot of conversations with people. And I've explained to him many times that I find it rude not to have a conversation with someone if they're trying to speak to me, regardless of their gender, and that I'm just being nice and outgoing. He views it as me flirting with other people right in front of him, and so I've toned down my social aspects out of respect for him. We've had many talks, and he explains how he has insecurities from past relationships, but nothing I do seems to help. I'm at a loss for what to do, and I want this relationship to work out, but I can't spend my life being anxious to talk to someone in fear of my boyfriend being upset with me. And I'm a Leo, he's a Cancer. If you have any advice, that would be great, and feel free to be harsh. Thank you.
He's not a Cancer. This man is a fucking loser. Break up with this loser.
He has a problem. He has an issue. It's not your problem. It's also not your problem to fix. Get out.
Truly. All this tells me is that he was never your friend, because this isn't like we're good friends and then we like end up having... He's been waiting for this for you. And now that he knows that, like, you are just friends with people, that's just not okay. That needs to be reserved solely for him. Jealousy is not something that is fixed within a relationship by, like, those two people together, unless someone's actually disrespecting someone else. But, like, jealousy to me is not coming from, like, when we use it in these terms, it's not coming from a rational place. Like, jealousy, it's a negative, nasty kind of emotion that's coming out of nowhere. And so that is something that, like, people can go through jealous phases or whatever, but they fix them on their own. And before, so then the next relationship they get into, they don't have that issue. It is not something that, like, you can sit down and have a conversation with him about, that he's going to be able to then fix it, that you can both fix it, that you can settle and compromise and you can adjust whatever. Like, no, if you're not flirting and these are your friends, no, like it's the biggest fucking turnoff ever. And it is such a, not even just like, is it a red flag? It's like a red flag that says like, warning, yield, worse shit coming up. It's like a very bad omen for the rest of the relationship. Like it's just because it's irrational. It's not based in anything. And therefore, if you're going to cater to that, then you are going to be asked to cater to more ridiculous things that are not based in reason, any like fact or things that are rational. It's just going to be based on his whims and his feelings. So it's only going to get worse. And I know you want this relationship to work out, but why? Like, mm-hmm. why do you want this relationship to work out? Because this isn't going to change. It's only going to get worse. So do you still want this relationship to work out? If you are like, well, this would be perfect if I just removed X, Y, and Z or this blah, 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 blah. That is obviously not the same thing as like for him, this relationship is perfect, but like he just needs to change you so you have no guy friends, you don't talk to men ever. And it's like, so then you being like, well, this relationship is perfect, he just needs to not do this. That is just as ridiculous of an ask as him asking you to not have any male friends or whatever. Like, it's just not a fair ask, because for him, it's not a fair ask to ask you of that because it's ridiculous. And for you, it's not a fair ask for you to ask of him because he's already being ridiculous. Like, he's not mm-hmm. going to just drop this in that way. So he's coming across very young and very insecure. And anyone who, anytime a fucking man throws like, well, my past relationship, I'm like, genuinely shut the fuck up. There's someone who I talk shit on all the time. I won't say their name here, but I've said their name here before. And this man used to blame everything.
I don't even have to know who it is.
Yeah. This man used to blame everything on the fact like, well, and I was like, you wouldn't understand. Like when I was like 13, I got my heart broken. And I'm like, when you were 13, your balls hadn't even dropped yet. Like you are a fully grown adult man and you're blaming treating other people like shit and having like these ridiculous expectations and being fucking awful on the fact that a girl you had a crush on when you were 13 had a crush on somebody else. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, I think it's one of the subtle ways the patriarchy like continues to flourish is getting in relationships and then as like in a heterosexual relationship, having the woman be like, oh, I can blame this other woman for fucking up this man, as opposed to this man fucking himself up and then not wanting to heal from any of this. And then I'm going to be this girl he talks about in the next relationship when he tries to treat someone else like shit and uses our relationship as an excuse. So like, cut this man off. I think as someone who like pretty much exclusively dates people or dated people who like through friends, like so becoming like you're still friends out first.
In the streets, Megan?
Still. No, but like I've always been like friend, like if I'm dating someone that it's successfully worked out, like we were friends first. If they suddenly were not okay with like my friends of like the opposite sex, like I would have been like, well, that's fucked up because we were friends. So our friendship meant nothing because now you're like, well, no, because clearly these people all have something for you. And I'm like, so you never had any interest in being my friend. Like, that's not romantic to me at all. Like, that gives me the ick and makes me annoyed. So I hate this man.
Yeah, because anyone can be jealous, but it's when you take it to this extreme that makes it toxic.
Yeah, and like,
it's an insecurity. It's a lack of trust. Like, and you as a person on the receiving end should take this very seriously and not in the way of like changing your behavior when you're not doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's isolating behavior because mm-hmm. he'll then have an issue with your female friends. He'll then have an issue with your family. He'll have an issue with whoever. I'm also just fucking dying at him being upset. I'm like, this bitch works in STEM. Like, what do you think?
That's all she can talk to.
All men. It's all like,
I shouldn't say that. Not all. No, but it's like the majority.
Vast majority and like yes. beyond like people who are getting hired. Again, unfortunately, vast majority men. So like it dwindles out the women who work there going from college to professional. And it's like, oh my God.
And it's like, well, you shouldn't be working. Shut the fuck up.
No. And what's he doing?
Next call.
Hey, Eminem, I wrote this out and I'm reading it, so I'm sorry if it sounds a bit robotic. Here's a little bit of background. I, 26, she, her, and my partner, 28, he, him, have been together for 5 years. We were both late bloomers and we were each other's first kiss. We also both grew up in a religion that did not approve of sex before marriage, and I was pretty sheltered growing up. As we are both deconstructing and moving away from the church, the furthest that we have gone physically is hand stuff. We have decided to move in together at the end of the summer. I currently live with my parents and he with his mom. We've talked and decided that we would like to wait to go all the way until we are in our own place. This is mostly because we are very rarely actually alone in either of our parents' houses, and I don't really want our first time to be while a parent is just down the hall. I know our situation is a little different and strange to people. Please don't judge too much. My question for you both is, do you have any opinions on forms of birth control? I'm really nervous about messing with my hormones just because of stories I've heard on TikTok. I originally wanted to just track my cycle and ovulation carefully and use condoms, but I think my brand of undiagnosed ADHD and autism is way too overwhelmed by this idea, and I'm very scared I will mess this up. I don't like the idea of the daily pill because I'm scared I will forget. I've also heard of Nexplanon that goes in your arm, but I've heard that they can get lost in your arm, and that freaks me the hell out. I've heard horror stories about IUDs, wild amounts of pain and periods lasting for months at a time. My mom got the Depo shot for years and loved it, but also people on TikTok say that it's awful. Honestly, I just need to get my insurance from work situated and then make an appointment with the doctor to see what they say, but I wanted to ask y'all for some opinions. My three best friends are all asexual and don't take birth control, so they are no help. Any advice would be great. Thanks so much. Love all the pod. Have a good day.
Okay, we got scared because we jumped the gun before hearing the part where you said and condoms.
Yeah. We're so vehemently against cycle tracking because if anyone does not know, cycle tracking is for when you want to have a baby. Just doing the opposite of that is not going to stop you from having a baby. it's just not. And like the remarketing of that is like fucking insane. And most of it does come from religious organizations who are trying to get people to have more babies. Wow. Okay. That scared the shit out of me.
Cycle tracking and condoms. Great start. Great start. I think it can also be the finish. Like you don't have to go further, but we're not doctors. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to talk to a doctor. The thing with birth control being bad for people, from what you heard, is that birth control is hormonal and people's hormones are different. So your body is going to react differently to different things. So you might get on a birth control where your body does not act in the same way that another person's. Me and Megan can be on the same birth control and our bodies will react completely differently. It's kind of like a trial and error with finding what works best for you. So it's very important to talk to a doctor about it and not just things on TikTok, because it's not going to be specified for you. You can also be on birth control for 6 months and it'd be great. And then the next 6 months, it's terrible. So again, having a doctor there to guide you through that is very important.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think like the first thing I would ask yourself is like, what would you do if you happened to get pregnant? Because that would also factor into like, I think if you wouldn't want to have a baby right now, but you would be opposed to, or you're not in a place where you would have access to terminate a pregnancy, I would make sure you are using two forms of birth control at all times. And I think cycle tracking for you might be like, I think it can work for some people when you pair it with something else. You pair it with condoms and you pair it with, or you pair it with birth control pills. Like if you want to make it this, these things are 99% effective when used exactly correctly. If you want to get, or like, let's say like 97% effective and you want to get it closer to the 99% effective, that's totally fine. I would really look into cycle tracking. I don't know. And I don't want to like make an assumption because you're saying that you are a late bloomer and you both kind of grew up in more conservative religious environments that you're deconstructing. How is your comfortability with your body? Because in order to cycle track, like you're having to get up into your body. It's not just taking your temperature every morning. It's not just like wearing a bracelet. It's not doing all these kinds of things. Like you have to basically check your discharge, your mucus, all of those things to get a baseline of what your normal is and what's not. And if you're not comfortable or you feel like a little awkward or a little odd about it, you might not be getting the most accurate results with that because you have to get the baseline to then see how it changes throughout the month. So I am someone with ADHD who forgets things all of the time. Birth control pills have always worked for me. The thing that I recommend for anyone who's like starting out is, especially if you're anxious, something that you can stop taking immediately. And the issue with an IUD or a shot or an implant or anything like that, if you're feeling really anxious, even if it's just in your head, and this is what my gynecologist said, she's like, even if there's like nothing wrong, but you get really anxious, it doesn't matter if nothing's wrong, you're going to start feeling like something's physically wrong. And like, then you're going to have to schedule an appointment and like, you're going to spiral as opposed to being like, I'm just going to stop taking these pills And then they're out of mind. Then that's what it is. And then we're going to reassess. So I really recommend birth control pills. My gynecologist also said that she's got identical twins who can't take the same birth control. Like, it's just how your body reacts to it. Hormone changes can be amazing. Like, they can be really great. I think there's like this whole thing on TikTok of like villainizing, like fucking with your hormones. No one, like Melissa said, no one's two hormone levels are the same. And like, we need them to, you know, level out. Like, it can help so many different things. So keeping track of like how you feel after everything, but like I have a alarm on my phone for like when I take my birth control, if you find like a convenient time for you. And I also set it so like mine's late enough at night that even if I don't take it right when that alarm goes off, even though I should, I'm going to bed within the hour. So I'm taking it because it's right next to my bedside table there. And if you forget to take it one day, then you don't have sex that day. So I think that like, especially with anxiety, with a pill, there are so many options. There's so many different things you can take. Like I had one that like, I'm on it consistently now, but I had like a 7-month long period. And I was like, I like everything else about this pill. Like, and I've gone through the gamut. I've like, yes, this one, no to this one, whatever. And I don't even have to go back in for appointments. Like she'll just try something else. And finally, I was like, I like this one. She's like, okay, well, I'm going to increase this percentage of this dosage. So it's the same pill. It's just this. And it was like miraculous. Like it's amazing. Like birth control can be so wonderful and fantastic, and it doesn't have to be horrible. Another thing that she told me that was really helpful, that people only talk about when they have a bad experience. They don't talk about it when they love it. They don't talk about it when it's awesome and when it's good. And I've really tried to like change that and like talk about how much I fucking love my birth control pills and how they've like saved my life. And they're so wonderful and amazing. So when you see people talking about that, just know that there is often an agenda that they are pushing. And if it's not an intentional, the agenda they're pushing is ignorance and them falling into the, you know, controlling bodies kind of discourse without even really realizing that they are. This like war on birth control has come from a lack of knowledge and information. And I also do think part of it to blame, I think, is the pushing of longer form birth controls of like IUDs, depo shot, Nexplanon, all of that kind of stuff. It does kind of feel like there's not as much discourse that people are necessarily having with their doctors about it. And it can feel like you're being sold on something that you might not feel comfortable with. So right off the bat, I told my doctor, hey, I'm only comfortable talking about birth control pills. And she's like, perfect, cool. That's all we'll talk about. So having that conversation with your doctor, but setting yourself up for success in the sense that like, don't assume that you're not going to remember to take it every day. Try and take it every day. And if you're unable to take it every day, don't have sex and then figure out something else from there. But I don't think a more permanent solution when you have anxiety is going to be beneficial for your anxiety.
And condoms are a great way.
All the time. Like I'm a big believer in like, if you're not sure if you're doing it perfectly right, like just two forms of birth control, especially if you are not in a place where you have access to abortions. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take another break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing, so we made ByHeart,
a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Back
and we're back.
Hi, Megan, Melissa. I love you guys. I'm a Libra in her 30s, so yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, I've been seeing someone for 2 years, and we dated 2 years a long time ago. We amicably broke up because of college and long distance, but we reconnected recently, and we're still close. We have siblings that are friends, and recently we were catching up, and one of his friends was on the phone with him, who used to be one of my older friends, older brothers, so I just wanted to check in and see how she was doing, so I asked if I could talk to him. When I took the phone, he started talking in an English accent, and I didn't want to be rude, so never questioned it. And then when I finished the phone call, I turned to my boyfriend. I said, why does he have an English accent? He said, he doesn't. And it turns out his friend was playing a prank on me. And I was upset about it. My boyfriend says I need to get over it and that it's not a big deal. It's just a joke. But I think it's kind of humiliating. And I need someone to tell me I'm not crazy. So let me know what you think. Thanks.
I can't tell you to not be humiliated. I can tell you you shouldn't be humiliated. It's just not a good joke.
Yeah, like, you're not crazy, but
it's just not funny.
I mean, as someone who did used to talk in a British accent for like a year, just because, why not? I love to see people's reactions, especially when I would go out to eat in Arkansas. But to be fair, my next door neighbors are British, so possible.
Yeah. I know British people.
It's just in the middle of Arkansas. But I don't think you're crazy, but I also just, I don't think it's humiliating either. Like, I don't think this is a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what you might be confusing for humiliation is secondhand embarrassment for him, like, or her, wait, him or her, I don't know, whoever was on the phone. Like, that's super weird. Like, it's just so weird. There's no payoff or pun, like, or of the humor. And like, we're two girls who love a jokey joke. Like, we love a hee hee ha ha. And sometimes, like, things can be funny and they can be humiliating or embarrassing to other people, but they're still funny. This is not that. Like, this is just like, there's no point of this. Like, it's just super weird. So I honestly would just like drop it, or I would like get them back and like do something else that's like, ah, stupid prank. But like, to me, this is just like, oh, you're just like not funny.
Yeah.
you know? So when I
just read the summary of this and not the full thing, I was just like, oh, this is going to be something that's terrible. It's just, it's a throwaway. Like, it's not like they gave you a rat in a box.
Yeah.
And called it a prank. You're getting paid.
Kind about it.
And I'm talking about, what's his name that played the Joker?
Dead one?
Method acting. No, not the dead one.
Jared Leto.
I'm talking about Jared Leto. That's what he did. And then called it a prank. And people were like, no, this is weird. This is just British accent, whatever.
This is something like my nephew would do and be like, aha, yeah. I got you. And I'm like, I know you're not. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think that, like, and this didn't make you look bad at all. Like, if anything, I think, like, it's funny that you didn't say anything because, like, that makes them look dumb for, like, this is going to be hilarious. And it's like, it's not, though. Like, it's just like, cool. Okay. Thought you maybe had a Madonna moment. So I know you can't control what makes you, like, feel embarrassed or whatever, but, like, I do think that, like, unless you think that your boyfriend was, like, conspiring on the phone and being like, oh, this will be, like, so funny, and, like, he knew you would feel, like, you'd feel uncomfortable with that. Like, I don't think that there's, if you're someone who tends to find, like, fault in what you do or whatever, that, like, your reactions to things, just put the focus on, like, that was so weird for them to do that. Not like, oh, well, then they made me look weird because I reacted to X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, they did that. Like, that was weird of them. Like, and it was just, like, not a funny joke.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next one. Dear Melissa and Megan, love the pod. I, 22 female, have been dating my boyfriend, 25 mil, for 6 months. Recently, he mentioned that he masturbates to photos of me posted on my Instagram. This was said in passing during pillow talk. However, my Instagram profile is modest, so there aren't many photos of me. Also, in most photos, I am pictured with friends, so the thought of him masturbating to these makes me uncomfortable. What if he conditions himself to associate pictures of my friends with him masturbating? After this conversation, I assume that he probably also masturbates to photos of other women on Instagram. So I checked his Instagram follows. He follows some porn stars and other women in public-facing roles. Additionally, he follows some women whose accounts are personal and private, including two of his exes. Due to him being Muslim, he doesn't have any female friends, just acquaintances. I want to go through his phone to see his engagement with their accounts.
I have something that's going to sound really harsh, and I don't know if you're going to take it in a positive way or a negative way, but I would say on the bright side, I don't think you need to worry about the, like, Pavlov's response association with photos of you with your friends, because I don't think he was saying that to, like, you know, because that sounds quote unquote good. Like, it sounds good to be like, oh yeah, I jack off to your Instagram photos. Like, but your reaction being like, what fucking photos would that be? So, like, maybe lean in with that it's like, okay, he's saying this to, like, be kind, but at least for me, I would prefer someone to say that and, like, not actually mean that than be like jacking off to photos of, like, me and my friends, like, at a birthday party, wearing, like, long john pajamas, where you're like, what? Like, odd. Are you just zooming in on my pixelated face? So I mean, I guess it's like, what is your, you haven't necessarily said what your issue is with this, because at first it sounds like your issue is the fact that he associates your friends and you being with your friends and photos, like, to masturbating. But then the issue is also that he's, what his engagement is with porn stars or women who are public figures, and then the exes. So, like, what is, like, what's the issue that you take with that? And, like, that's not, like, to be accusatory or saying that, like, you can be fine with all of it. It's just, like, what is the thing that bothers you? Is the thing that bothers you, like, the idea of him looking at any other women besides you? And I think, like, that's a very, like, normal feeling to have. But it's something that, like, is not his responsibility unless you've created boundaries that are reasonable boundaries and he is disregarding those. But if it's an insecurity thing, that's not on him to make you feel better. Like, he can, or to fix your insecurities. Like, he can say things to make you feel better. He can, like, reassure you and all of that. But, like, you have to put in the work to that. But if you're, like, uncomfortable with him, the kind of porn that he's watching, or you have a conversation with him about that, like, that's totally fine. You can have like a hard line of being like, I'm not comfortable being with someone. Not like you can't watch this kind of porn, but I'm not comfortable being with someone who is aroused by X, Y, and Z. And that's not kink shaming or whatever. I'm not saying that, like, I think for me, there are certain ones that would be very much a red flag that I would go, I'm not cool with you watching barely legal porn. Like, that's a deal breaker for me, you know? So like, I think like figuring out, what are you looking to get from this? Because wanting to go through his, who he's engaging with and all of that stuff, because what would be the issue? Like, what's the issue there? I think if you think he's cheating on you, or you think he's like, if he's liking photos of his ex-girlfriend on Instagram, you can say that you don't want him to do that. But I do think, as someone who's a big proponent of like going through people's phones if you need to, what are you trying to get out of this? Because I do think that if you do that at this point, I think you are completely weakening any argument or any stance that you have, because I don't know that he's given you a reason to look through his phone. And, you know, and like, I'm a big believer in like, don't show your hand. And I think this is, you're giving him the upper hand in this, when this could really just be a conversation.
Yeah, I'm like, what was the conversation around? You said it was pillow talk, but like, what was the conversation about around, I masturbate to your photos on Instagram? Also, he doesn't have any just like singular photos of you, or photos yeah. with him. That's odd. And like, who brought it up? He brought it up. And then him following exes first, like, he may not even realize he does, or he just does and it doesn't matter to him.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then with the porn stars, like, they're working, the content's there. It's not like it's a secret. You can see a lot of people's who they follow. So like, he knows that that's not a secret. And then like, what's your actual, like Megan was saying, what's your actual issue with this? And if you're going through his phone, I feel like there's more to it than what you're actually get the information that you're giving us, that it's like either an insecurity or there are other things in your life where you're like, I just don't trust him. And prepare yourself, if you're going to go through somebody's phone, to know that you might find things that you don't want to find. And usually if you're going looking for something, there's a reason. So you will find something that you don't want to find. So do what you need to do. But a lot of people watch porn. I feel like this might be our yearly porn. It's like once a year we have one episode where someone is bothered by
mm-hmm.
their partner looking at porn. We have no issue in it for ourselves. There's certain types of porn, but like, we have no issue with our partners looking at porn. So it's a thing for you. If it's a deal breaker for you and it's a deal breaker that he's aware of, then, you know, then you'll have to decide if you actually want to be with him. It breaks the deal's off. But if it's just like, he might get off to these people, mm-hmm. okay, so what?
yeah. There's this quote from that one of the girls who was on Girls. I think it's, is it
Jemima, I think.
There's an N, right? Jemima. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's her, but she has an Instagram story where someone was like, asking a question about like, how do you deal with like insecurities or something? And she was like, I fear we all might be thinking, you might be thinking about yourself a little too much, and how we can like insert ourselves into other people's narrative, where like, if he's looking at porn and this person is a blonde and I'm a brunette, therefore he is not sexually attracted to me. And it's like, it's not about you. Like, there are certain things where it's like, it's really easy to make the things that are about us. But if it's not coming up in your relationship and you're having to like seek it out, like Melissa said, there's probably something else going on that you're feeling like uncertain about, and you're looking for confirmation or whatever. But I think that like, the only time we've got issues with the porn is if it's the kind of porn and the when you're watching. So like, if you're choosing to engage with porn versus your partner, then yeah, that's... that's not good. If it's getting in the way of your life, in a sense that like, you're skipping out on your significant other's birthday dinner so you can jack off to a porn you've seen 100 times, like that becomes an issue. But he needs to be aware of your deal breakers, and you also have to be aware of your deal breakers. And like, you know, it's like Melissa said, like, it's not a secret that he follows these people. And so if this was a deal break, if this wasn't a deal breaker for you before, why do you feel like it might be a deal breaker now? Like, are you feeling like you're not, the relationship's not going where you want it to? And is this feeling like this might be a symptom, or this might be like something that is causing that or leading to that, which usually is not the case. And you might just be looking for justification to get out. So like, if you also just don't want to be in this relationship anymore and like your desires have changed what you want, you're allowed to change your deal breakers. But the most you can do is tell someone that like, this is a deal breaker for me, so I'm out, as opposed to being like, you need to change then. So I just, and also you going through his phone might be a deal breaker for him. So you might find nothing and then you're like, cool, all of my worries are gone. And he's like, you went through my phone, I'm done. So you just, you have to do that so wisely. You have to either like, it sounds toxic, but you either have to have such the upper hand in the sense that like, you know exactly what you're looking for. You're looking for proof of X, Y, and Z. And so you can confront with that. But otherwise, like in any circumstance or situation, like you are breaching some level of trust. And so if that's the first level of trust that's being breached, like you are automatically in the, you're the one who's going to be having to beg for forgiveness.
Right.
So it's a risk.
All right. That's the end of this episode. Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you so much. And if you want to watch the video version, you can head on over to Patreon. We also do live streams there twice a month. We play Monopoly Go together. We have a great grand old time. And it's so fun. You can also support the show and all of the rest of our shows just by donating. You don't have to join the live streams. You don't have to watch the video version. You can just be like, hey, I got money. Here you go. We love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. And we also have more podcasts besides just this one. So tomorrow you can listen to See You Next Tuesday. And then we give you a little bit of a break on Wednesday. And then Thursday you can listen to But Am I Wrong? And Friday you can listen to Fisting Friday. Sorry, that we're a little,
you've been out of practice.
Keeping up. We're a little out of practice, but also we're a little, our schedule's a little off. So I was trying to be like, we've got one. You'll hear it on Friday. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production sound and editing by Coco Lorenz.
Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
And music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter.